Well, it's great to see every one of you that are here, both in the house and online. I would like to tell you something right as we move into the service. This evening, I went out to see Sister Mildred Pratt and Sister Bernice at Brentwood. And when I walked in the door, there was a young man that used to be part of our church family. And then I hadn't gotten very far, and there was Brother Charlie King right around the corner. And he kind of helped me negotiate to where Sister Pratt was. And so we went in there and had a prayer. And then he went with me to pray for Sister Bernice. And so when we were getting back to the front door to leave, he said, "I'm not leaving yet." He said, "I've got to go, Sister, go fix Sister Pratt's hair." And I thought that was one of the most cool things, that he was so caring, sharing his life in the evening like that, and then saying, "I've got to go do something else." And that's just part of this great church family. That is things that I haven't known all the time about you, and particularly on a Wednesday evening right before the church service. So I had a real good chance to just bring that into focus, because almost everybody seated here and many that are online have done things similar to that, but it didn't just fit in very easy to talk about it at a service. But tonight, we are so thrilled with what God is trying to do for those people such as you and many others that are looking unto Him for salvation. A lot of times we just talk about salvation as a one-time thing. Salvation is daily. We're being saved from heartaches. We're being saved into glories and truths and empowerments and just so many things, that salvation is so big when people reduce it. But one of the things that we do is so important, and that is prayer requests, and that's Kobe Hicks, Lexi Swaim, and I got a good little report from her this evening, and she was so upbeat about what God was doing and continues to do. Brother Jerry Newberry, the same. He's having some better days. And Sadie Sinyams, and Steve Gordon, Lee Landis, Stacy Fryer, and the twin babies. Sister Mildred Pratt, I'll bring back to her. I mean, if you could see her today as opposed to just 4 days ago, just such a massive change in her, just her faith and her face. And some of you went out when she was in the ICU, and I mean, she told me again today, and of course, it wasn't hard to figure out. It looked like it was all over, but God has restored so much. Brother Billy Trinata, it's so good to see you here tonight. Praise God. And Tiny Freeland, that pastor across town, really needs a touch of God. And we're going to continue to pray for Sister Bernice. And if you have a special unspoken request, why don't you just say that name to the Lord right now? And we're going to pray the prayer of faith, and that faith will work its work. Father, we pray right now for the glory of the Lord that has brought us this far. And we know that if you have brought us this far and that we are in blessed conditions, I know that you will favor these people that we have prayed for. And I pray that knowledge and wisdom and glory will fill their minds and hearts, no matter where they are and what they're going through. And for others, in the name of Jesus, we bring the blood, the word, and the power of the resurrection against every deficit. In Jesus' name, praise God. Praise God. I think I mentioned that pray for all the others, but I don't think I mentioned it as being on the board. And I do want that, hopefully, that we will continue that. I would like to also mention right now the events that are going on in January. Tonight begins the six-week series on greatness as God's gift to you. And I really would like to say us, because all of us that join in with this are going to be blessed. 26th is the communion service, and that's going to be a very special time. The 26th is also mission pledge is due. And the 28th is Ladies United Fellowship at Bratcher's Nursery. That promises to be a memorable experience. Prayer and fasting train for the pastoral transition. We ask that you continue that prayer and having confidence in your own prayers. That is one of the biggest items as you pray. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, we will have the petition we desire of Him. And that's just straight out of His brain. And so He has given to us the freedom and the privilege of having that ministry within ourselves. And so those that would like to sign up in the foyer, there are several people that can take a specific day of a week and prayer and fast for all involved for this transition. And we will do this for a few weeks, and we will be blessed because God put that in a position to facilitate the highest level of conformity to His will and the ability to reach beyond our particular world. So why don't we stand together and let's pray for these that we have made prayer requests for. And if there's anybody here that would like to be anointed with oil, we will pray a special prayer for you tonight right up here at the front. And Jesus, yes, sir. And I wonder if there's somebody that would like to come in and stand in for somebody up here. There is a parallel that God has where one can put a thousand to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So if there's anybody that would like to come in, and Brother Dickey would come up here and join me, and if there's somebody that you would like to pray specifically for, we will join with you, and we will put this thing to the test of God's will for healing and miracles. Praise God. So let's pray right now together for these and for those that you may know that were not on the list. Sister, complete healing and freedom. Why don't we just spend three or four minutes praising God for hearing our prayer for these brothers and sisters and those that are not able to be here. Praise God. God, as you're seated, I'd like for us to continue to daily at least set aside a few minutes at least to pray a prayer of faith for the future of Paris, Texas, and Lamar County via the United Pentecostal Church. We're not just wanting to be blessed because we have been blessed, but what we want to do is be strong enough that the river overflows, and we literally flow just as a natural thing with a giant confidence that we know that the Lord, He alone is God. Praise God. And tonight we're going to have some very special ministry, and we're glad that she has developed an ability to communicate. And she is a spiritual person with a lot of desire for every one of us to have best life. So would you make her welcome to this pulpit?
Thank you. Thank you. And thank all of you for sitting here in the center so I can see all of you very well. It's so weird sometimes when people are all over the building, you find yourself going, you know, kind of hard to focus. So thank you all for coming together right here in the center where I can see you all very well. And this six-week series on Wednesday night that has been mentioned is called Greatness is God's Gift to You. It is so wonderful to serve a God that desires that we experience greatness. He's not a God that always wants to keep us under His thumb and keep us down, but He wants us to be as great as we can possibly be in every area. And I want to give special honor tonight to my friend Sharon Rome that outlined this series. When we pastored in Ohio, that was the first church we pastored, and Sharon and Jim Rome pastored about 20 miles from us, and she was a wonderful mentor in my life because she was about 15 years older than me, but they had already built an incredible church in Portland, Oregon, and they had already been at headquarters and ran the home missions department. So by the time they came to Lancaster, she had a lot of experience. And she was such a blessing to me. She was not a singer, not a musician, but she put together these wonderful series. And I remember the first one that she gave to me was called Loving God, Loving Your Family, and Loving Your World. It was about 12 lessons. So I just would like to give honor to Sharon for the outline of these lessons that you're going to be hearing. She passed away a few years ago, but this was her last project, and before she passed away, she mailed it to me. So I'd like to give special honor to my friend Sharon Rome tonight. Okay, the first one tonight that we're going to be talking about of this greatness is God's gift to you is greatness begins in your mind. Greatness begins in your mind. So we need to embrace right thinking. Now, all of the time, we have this non-stop conversation going on in our minds. From the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep, our mind is in continual conversation. I really particularly hate it when I'm trying to go to sleep and these conversations keep playing over and over and over like a record, just over and over and over in my mind till you feel just utterly exhausted from it. So our minds are a battlefield where wars are fought and won, or sometimes lost. But our mind is a continual battlefield. And these mind conversations that go on all the time, they determine, these conversations that go on in your mind, they determine our attitude, our self-image, our plans, our behavior, and they shape the person that we become. All this goes on in our minds. That's why it's so important that we guard what we allow to enter our minds. Be very aware and careful about what you read, what you watch, and what you allow people to speak into your life, because it's very easily to be influenced by the things that we see, the things that we hear. It's easily to be influenced by things that are not always a positive thing for us. Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so will he be. And Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart, guard your mind above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. Well, what were some of the thoughts that entered your mind before you got out of bed today? Before you ever got out of bed this morning, what were some of the things that you started thinking about? I'm not going to ask you to say this tonight. They'd be very varied. But before you ever got out of bed this morning, thoughts started coming to your mind. And then I'll ask, those thoughts that came to your mind before you even got out of bed, did they affect your day in any way? Things you thought about first thing this morning, did they have an effect on your day? We cannot expect to speak doom and gloom over our lives and expect to live in victory and peace and blessing. I'll say that again. We cannot expect to speak doom and gloom over our own lives and then expect to live in victory, peace, and blessing. I was trying to see if Sister Wendy was here. I loved something that she posted one time on Facebook, and I copied it because I thought it was so beautiful. It said, start calling yourself healed, happy, whole, blessed, and prosperous. Just start calling yourself healed, happy, whole, blessed, and prosperous. Start talking to God. Stop talking to God about how big your mountains are, and start talking to your mountains about how big your God is. Isn't that beautiful? That is a wonderful thing to live by. Start talking to yourself. Claim healing, claim happiness, claim your wholeness, claim a blessing, claim yourself to be prosperous. So it's of utmost importance that we try to see ourselves as God sees us and speak His thoughts into our lives. Speak what God thinks about us into our lives. It's of utmost importance we see ourselves as God sees us. And we are told in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen people, that we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, we are a peculiar people. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Psalms 139:14 tells us that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. Now, I know a lot of times we aren't always totally excited about the way that we are made. There's usually a lot of stuff that we'd like to change. But apparently, God thinks that we are wonderfully made. So if God thinks we're wonderfully made, let's just accept it. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully, wonderfully made. And then going on in Psalms 139, verse 17 and 18 says, how precious are your thoughts, God's thoughts, unto me, and great is the sum of them. If I tried to count them, they are more in number than the sand. In other words, God is thinking untold number of wonderful thoughts about me and you. Isn't that a fabulous thought? Just to think that God is thinking untold numbers of wonderful thoughts about you and about me. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, and to give you an expected end. In the Amplified Bible, I know that my dad always liked to read that Amplified Bible. I would always see it laying there on his stand by his chair. In the Amplified Bible, that scripture says, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That's God. He wants you to have a good future and live in hope. We serve a God that is full of mercy, of grace, and of forgiveness. This series is all about you feeling really good about who you are and why you're here and where you're headed and what you're supposed to be doing. This series is to make you feel really, really, really good about being part of the world right now, okay? God is full of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Now, it seems to me that one of the major problems here is that we seem to have difficulty seeing ourselves as God sees us. I've told you, read all these scriptures about how God sees you, but sometimes we have great difficulty seeing ourselves as God sees us. Now, the reason we know this, you remember that Gideon was hiding behind a wine press, terrified of his enemies, the Midianites, when God called him a mighty man of valor. He was hiding behind a wine press, scared to death of his enemy, when God called him a mighty man of valor. Because, see, God was seeing something in Gideon that he certainly, at that point, was not seeing in himself. And when God said to Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you can deliver my people out of Egypt, Moses did not see himself as a deliverer. He said, no, God, I cannot speak. But God knew that Moses could do what God needed him to do. He even provided what Moses needed, somebody to speak for him. So the problem a lot of times is that we just are not able to see ourselves as God sees us. I think that one time in our ladies' class, when we were talking about something similar to this, I was telling them about a lot of times God sees things in people a lot of times that not only do you not see, but others don't see it either. But when my husband and I were in St. Paul, Minnesota, going to Bible college, there was a young man in his class. He could not even look you in the eye to speak. Like when you talk to him, he couldn't even look you in the eye. And he was a theological student. And so we all thought, you know, when somebody's up preaching, they need to be able to look people in the eye, not be so timid and so intimidated. And so a lot of us kind of wondered, you know, if he might kind of just be pursuing the wrong major or something, because he was so shy and so insecure. But you know what? That's what we were all seeing. But you know what God was seeing? God was seeing one of the greatest missionaries to ever go to the field. Brother Robert Addison went to New Zealand and stayed like 30 plus years. Turned out to be one of the greatest missionaries that we have ever sent to a foreign field. So see, God was seeing in him something that we certainly weren't, and I'm not even sure he was seeing it himself. But God does see what we are able to do. He sees, we're so prone to see our insecurities and our failures. When God is seeing your abilities and your talents, when we can yield our lives to him. Research reveals that 80% of what most people think on an average day is negative. Now, when I got to thinking about a lot of y'all that I knew was going to be here, I thought, these people are not in that 80%. I don't think the people I'm going to be talking to tonight spend 80 or in that 80% of always thinking negative. But whoever does this research says that 80% of what most people think about on an average day is negative. And that is very sad. Very sad. The Bible teaches us to reprogram our thoughts and to renew our minds. Romans 12 and 2 says for us to be not conformed to this world. Don't be part of that 80% that thinks negative thoughts. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. With this warfare that is going on in my mind, going on in your mind, choose to fight for what is acceptable to God and what lines up with his teachings. Whatever battles that you are fighting in your mind, choose to fight for what you know is acceptable to God and what lines up with the teachings of his word. We all love Philippians 4 and 8. And it's so much easier to read it or quote it than it is to live it. But Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on all of these wonderful things. A lot of times when I would be at my husband's family's home, and if anybody got distracted off into some kind of negative conversation, Marmy would always say, oh, let's think about the beautiful flowers, or, you know, that's usually what she'd say. It'd always be flowers. Let's think about the beautiful flowers. Let's not talk about that. So let's think about the beautiful flowers. Let's think about things that are of a good report, that are true, that are just, that are pure, and that are lovely. Think on these kind of things. When your mind starts to roam off in that 80% of negativism. See, the scripture are full of encouraging thoughts and positive affirmations that you can say and think on. Like Colossians 1 and 16 says that I am a child of God. You can say that a lot when you're at war with the enemy. I am a child of God. God loves me and is pleased with me. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. I will fulfill my destiny. Philippians 4 and 13. I do have a purpose for my existence. Ephesians 1 and 11. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8 and 10. I'm not too young. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. And I'm not too old. Philippians 1 and 6. I am beautiful in the eyes of God. Psalms 149 and 4. I was created in His image. Genesis 1 and 27. And I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4 and 13. These are all the things that Scripture is saying about us. God's thoughts toward us. Sister Jennifer Williams, that goes to the Pentecostals of Alexandria, she's a licensed minister, and she's also a speaker. I've heard her speak many times, but she was impressed one time to start a prayer meeting in her house. And she said this wasn't a real comfortable, she knew it was God asking her to do this, and she said it wasn't a real comfortable thing, because she said that she's out in the public so much dealing with counseling that her home was kind of her little refuge. And she really did not want to, you know, open it up to a bunch of people to come to prayer meeting. But she said she felt particularly impressed of God to start having a prayer meeting in her home. And it went for 21 days. And so she recorded all the things that God spoke to them during that time. And she put it in book form, because she felt that a lot of what was spoken by God would bless other people as well. So there were some things in her book that I thought that I would share, because it was words that God spoke during the prayer meeting, just to example how much God cares and wants you to experience greatness. God spoke one night in the prayer meeting and said, "My hands are open, and I have good things in my hands for you. All you have to do is reach forth into my hand. There are treasures in my hand for you. All of it belongs to you. I have everything you need. I've heard your petitions, and I will give you the things that you have asked of me." Another time God spoke and said, "I have things in store for you, my child, that you know not of. You do not have to fear. You are a precious jewel in my hand. I have watched over you. I've given you my word. Fear not, for I am here for you." Another time he spoke and said, I really like this one, "It's okay to lean on me. You have been strong for so many others. You can lean on me. I am at your beck and call, and I am here to serve you. What is it that you need? Ask me, and I will give it unto you." I thought I would share these with you just to reemphasize the fact that God does care. He does know where you are. He loves you with love that is beyond what you can even comprehend. So greatness does begin in your mind. Just this week, I read a good example about our new handsome vice president, who was raised by a single mom that had a drug addiction to prescription painkillers and heroin. She made multiple suicide attempts and was in and out of rehab. Vance remembers his relationship with his mom was very complicated. She would spend all night partying, and he collected no fewer than 15 stepfathers. By his own diligence, dedication, and hard work, Vance managed to shrug off his background. He joined the Marines, put himself through elite Yale University, became a lawyer and struck gold as an investor in the Silicon Valley. Then he became a senator of Ohio. Someone raised in that kind of environment could have really justified the fact that they were no good and that the world was against them. They didn't have a good upraising, didn't have a good mom, didn't have a lot of money. It's easy to justify things. But then on the other hand, you see people like this. It only sparks a desire to overcome. I might add that in 2015, Bev, his mom, was homeless, living in her car. And he found her and told her that he had written a book about the difficulties of his childhood. And it was an eye-opener to her. And she entered a sober living home and is now drug-free. And some of you may have seen her at the inauguration standing up there by him. So your battles of what you are and who you become, it is all up to you. And they are battles that are fought in your mind. Your thoughts shape your life. Proverbs 4:23, the HIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Your life will change when you change the way you think. We cannot control each other's thoughts. I am in control of my thoughts, but my life will change according to my thought patterns. Where do negative thoughts come from? Have you ever thought about that? If 80% of the world lives in negative thoughts, where do those thoughts come from? You know that they certainly are not from God, because I have read you all these wonderful scriptures about what God wants us to think of ourselves. So if these negative thoughts, if they're not coming from God, they have to be coming from the other world. The other world that wants to see you fail and not prosper and not live in happiness and not have the joy of the Lord. So think where these negative thoughts are coming from. If they're not from God, then who are they from? Okay? What are some of the steps that you can take to generate more hopeful, positive thoughts? Sometimes we can help generate them by the things we choose to do, say, read. So what are some of the steps that you can think of in your life that you might could do to generate more positive, upbeat thoughts? Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I think that this may be a real good rule of thumb. Say what you think Jesus would say. When circumstances arrive, say what you think he would say. Not maybe what you feel like saying, but say what you think Jesus would say in this particular situation. Think what you think he would be thinking. If the thoughts you're thinking are not what you think Jesus would be thinking, get them out. Push them out. Think the kind of thoughts that you think Jesus would be thinking. Do what you think he would do. That's easy. Do what you think he would do. So many times teaching senior high, I said, and caught those college classes, sometimes we just really overcomplicate things. We really can get things where they feel just really, really complicated, when really serving God is very simple. It's just love God and love people. And it's a simple thing of, would Jesus go there? Okay? If he wouldn't, don't you go, okay? Would Jesus say that? If he wouldn't say it, don't say it, okay? Would Jesus wear that if you were going to be meeting Jesus on the street right now? Would you want to meet him in that kind of attire? I mean, it's really a simple thing. Just think, would Jesus do it? Would he say it? Would he be pleased if you ran into him like in the next 5 minutes? So it isn't complicated. We make it really complicated, but basically serving God is not complicated because God wants you to live in greatness. He wants you to experience greatness. You were created for God's purpose. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. John 1 and 10, Jesus speaking said, I come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I came that you may have life more abundantly. Abundant life. Abundant means existing or available in large quantities. It means plentiful. So that's what God has come, that you may live in a life that is abundant. God believes in you. Isaiah 60 and 15. I will make thee an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. Another translation of that said, I will make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generation. I sure want people to think that I was a joy from generation to generation, don't you all? God saw your worth and value. He went to great lengths to save you from life and death and separation from him. Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And we're going to be commemorating that on Sunday with communion. God sees you as wholly loved and beautiful, a perfect creation. How do you see yourself? God is seeing you totally loved and beautiful, a perfect creation. But how are you seeing yourself? How well do you think your opinion of yourself matches up with God's opinion of you? God believes in you when you cannot believe in yourself, and he wants to strengthen your confidence in him. Joshua 1 and 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I'm going to read that again. This is my closing statement. Joshua 1 and 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Can you stand? We're going to thank God tonight for the fact that he believes in me. He believes in you. And because he believes in us, he is going to provide everything that you could possibly need to be victorious and to experience greatness in his kingdom. Can we pray together? We thank you, God. Thank you so much that you love us beyond what we can even comprehend. Oh, God, help us to see ourselves as you see us. You see us being victorious. We want to be victorious for the cause of Christ. There is a cause, and you do need us to fulfill what we have been called to do. We thank you for your mercy, for your kindness, for your faithfulness. Help us to be what you want us to be, to do what you would do, to speak what you would speak, because we are vessels here to carry on your work. The precious name of Jesus Christ, we love you. Can you clap your hands to him? Do you want to say something in closing? Thank you all so much for being here.
Good night. You are awesome. I will allow you to clap your hands if she did a good job.